I don't know why we can't hear each other.
I don't either. I can hear you now.
Oh, you can hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh my God, yes. Good Lord Almighty.
You are so funny.
There is so much going on right now and so many people that need me. I'm like, somebody, Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, just take the damn wheel.
Well, if I can give you some advice in life, you got to learn sometimes to say no. And like I said, if this doesn't work for you, no problem. I am completely understanding of that.
No, I want to do it. I feel like we pushed it off. Okay. Like, I'm ready.
Okay, good. But I love your message and I feel like I could probably talk for 2 hours about it.
Well, we could do another one later with like another topic if like we end up, you know,
absolutely
getting really excited and we're like, oh, there's just so much more to cover.
I know. No, totally. Here we go.
Here we go.
God is winking, friends. It is not by chance, nor is it a coincidence that you are listening to High Heels, High Hopes podcast on the America Out Loud Network. This is Kelly Murphy, your passionate host, gifting you with a human interest story that is sure to inspire your spirit. There is a billion, I said billion dollar industry out there, folks, who are preying on your very insecurities. The media is not only the message, but it's also the messenger, and it's a powerful one. We are inundated 24/7 with pictures of perfection. And what we glean from that as women and as young girls is that we're not pretty enough. We're not strong enough. We're not skinny enough. We're not perfect enough. Welcome to High Heels, High Hopes podcast. This is Kelly Murphy, your host. And as you can see, I'm extremely passionate about this topic because I myself have struggled with body image issues my entire life. And so I'm excited to join today our guest, Erica Strymer, who is about ready to get naked with us. Erica, thank you for joining the podcast today. I know you're wildly busy, so thanks for taking time out of your hectic day to share your personal message about your health and body image issues that you have dealt with.
Absolutely, Kelly. I'm excited to be here. The good news is that I just walk around naked. So I'm already naked and ready to go.
I think we should all walk around naked, take the damn masks off, and let's just get real with one another.
Yes, it's time to get real. It's time to be naked all the time. It's time to be proud of what's underneath all of the surface.
I love it.
Image stuff. So yes, absolutely.
Well, you know, the podcast is High Heels, High Hopes. And one of the things that I want to share with the audience is that obviously you traded in your high heels, your corporate job, successful saleswoman, strong and on a mission, the corporate world and a car paid for, to trade all that in for a job to open up a business in the park. Now, who the heck does that?
Nobody ever does that ever. I actually have been reminded recently about how many of my friends were like, what the heck are you thinking? What are you doing? Why are you not taking that other job? Why are you not continuing to pursue your career and starting a business with you, a boombox and some grass?
I love it.
You know, it was totally crazy. It's not something that's done often. It's not something that's done well, but you know, if you feel in your heart that something's calling you, you know, the risk is scary and it's hard to take it. But, you know, you in the moment, you know, you have to connect with your faith and, you know, see where you're being called and really analyze the situation, see why and see which one is fueling your heart more. And, you know, you can always go back. You know, that was the one thing when I took the risk that I always had in the back of my mind is if this doesn't work and if it falls apart and I fall flat on my face, I left the industry in such a positive way with class and, you know, gratitude for the opportunities I had and thanked them for them. And they even said to me, you know, you can always come back. And so I always had that in the back of my mind.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
If this doesn't work, I can always go back.
Well,
you know, pharmaceuticals was always going to be there, you know, so that's the good news.
So that's interesting. You're in pharmaceutical rep and, you know, some people are probably going a business in the park. You had a boombox and grass. What in the world did you do? Erica is the founder of a outdoor boot camp that is called
No, it's total movement.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Total movement. So total movement. And she is just inspiring and motivating people to not only work on the outside of your body fitness, but also, as you can hear from her message, faith is very much a part of her journey and so much more. And I have to share with the audience why and how I found you. You know, you posted a message recently on Facebook, and I, like a lot of people, love to just kind of scroll around and find inspiring messages. And you'd posted a picture of yourself from years back, and you continued to get naked on Facebook and share with everyone the day that you remember that picture being taken. Do you recall that post and what I'm referencing?
Yes, I do.
Share with the audience what your message was and what your thoughts were as you looked at that picture from years previous.
So, you know, Facebook has this lovely little feature these days, and it's called your time hop. And I actually really enjoy the time hop because it brings me back to moments like this one where I'm reminded of how far I've come.
Oh, well, me too.
And how much I've grown. And so, you know, I had actually forgotten about this particular day because, you know, I have grown so much from, you know, some of the struggles I faced that I often don't want to remember days like that day when that photograph was taken. But it was such a refreshing moment because I feel like in the moment when it popped up, I needed to hear it. And when I saw this photo of myself, I felt like the world needed to hear my message about my transformation from that day. And, you know, so I chose to share that. And so when I saw the picture, I just kind of walked myself through the day of when the photo was taken. And I remember I had just left the gym, and I was in a really like rough situation with my current situation at that time. And, you know, I was always feeling discouraged about my body. I was always feeling like I was never good enough. I was, you know, I didn't want it bad enough was often spoken to me. And, you know, at the time I thought that was really motivating me, but in reality it was really, really burying me underneath of a lot of self sabotage.
We all struggle from that. You know, one of the words used in your message that really spoke to me was body dysmorphia. You actually used those words. Share with the audience, what exactly is body dysmorphia for those who have never heard that word before?
So it's a real thing. And that's one thing that needs to be understood is so many people are like, oh, I have body dysmorphia. No, you don't. You know, explain to me why you think you have that. And they're like, well, I just don't like the way I look in this dress, or I don't like the way that I look in a bikini. And that's not body dysmorphia. That's just, you know, you have issues with self-image.
Body
dysmorphia is actually looking at yourself in a picture, in the mirror every day, you know, wherever it is that you see yourself, and seeing something that is different than what everybody else sees. Like, you truly don't see what the world is seeing. And in this photo, I remember when it was taken and it was posted on Facebook, I remember untagging myself, hiding it, trying to make it go away because I thought that I looked fat and bloated. And
you just said the F word.
Yes, the F-A-T word, that horrible word that should never be used about any woman, and especially never should never come out of your mouth about
yourself. Oh my gosh, and I'm so guilty.
So we remove that word from my vocabulary, and I often remove that word from women that I train and men in regards to their nutrition and their own issues with body image. But what I was seeing when that photograph was taken was not what the rest of the world saw. And what's even more incredible is since that day and growing as a woman, working on my strength to come back to life, facing the issues I was dealing with, now when I look at that photo, I'm like, what the heck was I thinking? You know? But in that moment, and when I was in the struggle and I was, you know, I had my disorder and I was deep, like elbow deep in, you know, the issue, I saw something that the rest of the world didn't see. And that was something that, you know, it brought me back to that moment. And I felt like I had to speak about it because there are so many people out there that struggle with this, that truly look in the mirror and don't see a beautiful person staring back at them. And they are constantly breaking themselves down, tearing their body apart piece by piece. This isn't good enough. That's not good enough. That needs to be tighter. Oh, that's too big. That's too small. And, you know, they don't see what the rest of the world sees. Right. And so I felt like I had to speak about that because on the flip side, you know, there's so many women out there who are constantly posting these pictures of perfection. And, you know, they're posting in such a way that is their reality. And the reality is that that's not their reality. Yeah. They don't wake up like this, quote unquote.
I'm so glad that you said that, because not only are we looking at pictures of movie stars and famous people and, you know, magazine racks and touched up and photoshopped pictures and images, but we're also seeing regular normal women that we work with, that we're friends with, that we interact with on a daily basis, who are giving us the impression that there's perfection. And I just want to share something really quick, because I got fired up last night, actually, in preparation for this podcast with you. I was going through LinkedIn, as I often do, and I saw a message from an entrepreneur, fitness and lifestyle specialist, and she wrote the message, "How others see us definitely does not represent the truth of who we are. It only represents how they see us, nothing more. Don't own anyone's biased judgments. That's their job. Your job is to work at loving yourself just as you are." For me, it was at one time my red hair, freckles, my crazy life story, and my health issues. What makes us is something to be celebrated, not ashamed of. Now, I want to share with everyone that I loved the message.
And that's amazing.
It is an amazing message, right? I love the message. I mean, I absolutely love the message. However, the message didn't match the image. And I'm just going to be really frank and blunt about this because it just absolutely fired me up. She's gorgeous, beautiful blonde hair, gorgeous fake long eyelashes, 3 inches of makeup at least. Her lips are extremely pumped up, and you can tell that either she's photoshopped or she's had a lot of Botox and a lot of work done on her. And so there, for me, and I don't know how you feel about this, correct me if I'm wrong, I just feel like there's a disconnect between her saying we just need to love ourselves in one vein, and then in the next vein she's shouting out an image of herself that looks like perfection, but it's fake, it's a mask.
So my thoughts on posts like that just actually broke my heart, that the message was so strong and so beautiful. And then what was tied to it is a really sad girl. And I don't know this woman. I don't either. Maybe she has grown, and maybe she does feel great. And maybe all of those things she's done to herself or what she's perceiving and posting is how she really feels. But coming from my personal journey, I used to be that girl. I was the girl who posted every photo that was taken in a photo shoot or from a fitness show when I was the leanest I have ever been, you know, 106 pounds, 112 pounds. You could see every muscle in my body. And I was posting these messages that were absolutely beautiful and from my heart.
And that's why I love your story.
And I meant every word, Kelly. When I would make those posts, I meant it. But I was still ashamed. I was still hiding. I was still dealing with stuff that I didn't want the world to know. I didn't want the world to see. And that's what breaks my heart about this woman, is I hope for her sake that she's not who I was at that time, because the message was real. Like, what I would say was real. Like, I really did feel that way. But my pictures and the perception that people were having of me was perfection. And that wasn't the real reality at that time. And that is one of the issues that we face in social media and fitness and Fitspo and Fitspiration and all these things that people are often Googling and searching on Instagram, is they search these women who are posting the perfect image, but they're giving you a great story about how perfection isn't the goal. And when I came to terms with my issues and I finally like hit rock bottom, got help, and started to truly love my body and feed myself good nutrition and take care of myself from the inside out, I still take beautiful pictures, but I'm more excited to post the picture of me on my paddleboard that was taken of me in a moment where I wasn't photo shoot ready. Yeah. I didn't even know I was going to do pictures that day. And somebody asked to take me on a journey because they want to share a piece of my story. And for the first time, I can look at that picture. I'm like, wow, I'm so proud of that body because that's a strong body. That's a strong girl. And she looks amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the photos and the images that women and men want to see. They don't want to see the perfection. They don't want to see you dolled up, so much makeup, yeah, so many, you know, layers covering up who you really are. I mean, it's so often, I find it often daily when I don't have the moment to put on the mascara or fix my hair, but I wake up healthy and happy and I'm excited and motivated. I just don't have the time to get done. I get more compliments on the fact that I'm a beautiful person who shines from within than on the days where I have the time to do my makeup and, you know, I'm still me, but it's just, it's amazing what people really want to see. And yeah, I think that's one of the biggest messages that women need to hear, women in fitness need to understand, is you need to be authentic and true to who, yes, you are.
Yeah.
If who you are is the woman that wants to have all the surgeries and the Botox and the perfection, then fine, be that person. But don't give a message to our world that perfection isn't the goal, because clearly there's things you want to change about yourself that you need to build your self-esteem, or you wouldn't be doing them.
Right.
You know, there's a deep-rooted issue as to why that's happening. So I'm not saying everybody needs to wake up and, you know, have bedhead and, you know, stains on their teeth or whatever from the night before. But, you know, I woke up like this on the leanest day of my life.
Yeah.
And continuing to share that picture in 7 different pairs of underwear because you're ashamed of what you really wake up like, that's what I'd like to see end, and that's what I'd like to bring more awareness to, and what I'm on a mission to bring more awareness to for women is that you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So yeah, the perfect woman you want to look like or be like, or, you know, you want her body, like, trust me when I say that woman doesn't even like who she is.
Yeah.
And the body she's showing you isn't what she looks like every day. We're women. We're meant to have body fat.
Yeah.
We're meant to be bloated once a month. We're meant to wake up, you know, with a little bit more water retention if we had a great dinner and a couple drinks with some friends.
Yeah.
You know, that's normal. And you can still be fit and beautiful and fabulous.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
You know, I'm curious to know about your story, because when you left your corporate job, you obviously you started this outdoor boot camp, and then you aspired to actually be on the cover of a fitness magazine. That was a high hope for you. Was that always a hope for you, or did it come as a part of your fitness journey? And then my next question is, has body dysmorphia always been a part of you, or did it kind of morph into the monster it is as a result of your fitness goals?
So I never struggled with body image my entire life. I did often, as I, you know, went through the recovery of my disorder, I did revisit some things that happened when I was younger, where I was constantly comparing myself to my friends, mm-hmm, because I was a dancer. So I was never as skinny as my best friend who had the perfect dancer's body. I always compare my dance career to the movie Center Stage, if you've ever seen it. I was the girl that had all the personality and the beauty, but I had the bad feet. And that was, you know, kind of my journey, is like, I always got good roles because I had great character, not because I had that perfect, lean, beautiful dancer's body. So I think some of that triggered, my goal for perfection when I went into doing my first fitness show. But I never, ever worried about it. You know, I always had fun. I ate what I wanted to. I made good, healthy choices. But there was never a struggle there. But in joining the fitness world and taking this leap of faith, I felt like I had to become this idol for people. And that was what, when I took the challenge of becoming a fitness competitor and fitness model, that was the goal. And that was what was instilled in my head. And I was coached and, you know, by everyone around me, you know, find a picture of the woman.
Yes, I love this story.
That you want to, like, you want to look like. So I did. I found a picture of a woman that I wanted to look like, and I put it next to my bed. And which is so weird when I think now. I'm like, I had a random girl on my nightstand for like 3 years.
I was training for a triathlon and had a picture of an amazing, perfect body on my refrigerator. I mean, torturing myself every time I went to the refrigerator as I looked at this perfect body.
Yes.
And, you know, the thing is that I hope that our audience, your message, again, is just so amazing. And I really appreciate your getting naked with us. The thief of happiness is comparison. And when we start comparing ourselves to other people, to idolize people who could be potentially photoshopped or are maybe not necessarily living a healthy and authentic life, we steal joy from our lives and our happiness by virtue of that comparison.
Absolutely. And I was doing that to myself and not even realizing it, you know. And so I had this picture of this person that I wanted to be, and that was motivating me to get up every day. The problem is that every day I never looked like her. I never, ever did. It never, ever came to fruition for me, because then, you know, I started developing my own issues, and nothing was ever perfect. Nothing was ever good enough. There were some moments that, you know, in my training where I was, you know, often told, you know, that's body fat, we got to get rid of that, we got to get rid of this, you know. And the comments that were made in that moment were not intended to put me into a state of body dysmorphia. They were made with the best of intentions, mm-hmm. because the goal was to lose body fat to get on stage. So it wasn't what was being said to me that was the issue. It was the way that I tried to hold on to that after the moment was over.
Right.
And granted, you know, I don't know if maybe that was the best approach for me. If I could go back, I would say, like, you know, that coaching technique doesn't work for me. You know, I would rather you not say that to me. But in the moment, it seemed like it was, you know, because the person had my best interests at heart. So they weren't doing anything wrong, right, in their eyes. But in reality, it was sabotaging me in such a way that I never, ever allowed myself to look normal again.
Yeah.
Because I had worked so hard to finally see those muscles and see those abs and, you know, step on that stage for the first time ever, that I didn't know how to go back to normal. And I was so confused and lost that I just got engulfed in this fitness industry of, like, modeling and comparison. And, you know, this model might be chosen over you, or in a show, you know, you may or may not get first place. And because I'm that type A person who, like, is always striving to be the best, you know, I come from a sales background where I was rewarded on my ranking, you know?
Yeah.
And even, like, I think my training in corporate America sabotaged me in a way that I was, like, so competitive.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, everyone wanted to be in these magazines, and I was being introduced to these photographers, and they were saying, well, you know, we'd love to make you a status symbol, and we'd love to make you an ambassador. And, you know, it's giving all these opportunities. And I'm like, well, the next step has to be a cover.
Of course.
You know, the next step is going to be me getting a cover. And then I was doing shoots that were saying, this is a test shoot for the cover. We're going to submit you. And
that must be very addictive to be getting all of this,
yes,
attention.
And, it was like,
and
okay, that, you know what, when I get that cover, that's when I'm going to really make it. I'm going to be famous.
I'm going to be so famous.
And, you know, and the reality was, like, all of that was a bunch of fluff. You know,
yeah,
it was a bunch of Facebook likes. It was a bunch of comments. You're beautiful. You're amazing. You know, and, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit I thrived on that.
Yeah.
I needed people to tell me every day that I looked great and that my pictures were phenomenal,
yeah,
because I truly did not like the way that I looked.
I speak a lot about addiction, and I believe that our society is addicted to that type of attention. You know, we get addicted. I listen to my kids. They get addicted to how many followers they have and how many, you know, it really truly is an addiction that is filling a hole that's inside. It's not an external journey. It's from the inside. So I appreciate your sharing that with us.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like kind of embarrassing, you know, like most people will never admit to you that they make a post with the intention to get a bunch of likes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they share a picture with the intention of getting a bunch of likes. And, you know, I was that girl for a long time. And the saddest part about all of this is there's this separate business that we haven't even really talked a lot about. And it's the boot camp that I own and run. And that place in that park with that boombox is the only place in the past 5 years where I've been my true, authentic, amazing self consistently, even through the dark times, even through the hard times. It was like that was the one place I always knew I could show up and I always was able to come to life.
Yeah.
They never had a single moment where they knew their trainer was struggling. People used to always, like, they would do little interviews and testimonials around town of people that came to camp. And they were like, there's just never a bad day at camp. Like, Erica just never has a bad day. She's just absolutely wonderful.
She has the perfect life. I wish I could be her. I want to be her.
She shows up and she's got the biggest smile on her face. And she is so excited to see us, which that was real, Kelly. Like, I was excited to see them. Because for the first time in my day, I was like, these people don't care.
Yeah.
They do not care what I look like. They do not care if I'm on a magazine cover. They don't care if I got 50 posts or 50 likes on my Facebook post today. They just care that I show up and that I actually care about them.
Yeah.
And that was the differentiating factor of what I was doing for people in fitness and what other people were doing for people in fitness. And that's how my business was developed and how it grew and how I've created something really special. But on the inside, again, just going back to the post and that, you know, everything is driven by the way people perceive me on the internet. I was just totally in the wrong mindset. And the day I finally realized that none of that crap matters was the day I continued to post the same message, because it was an authentic message. Like, I really did mean every word I said.
Right.
But it came in a different direction. It came with a picture of me maybe not looking perfect. Mm. You know, it came with a picture of me with my clients, the people that really do fuel my soul and make me happy. You know, it came with a modeling picture sometimes, but a completely different body that was built on good nutrition and hard work in the gym. And my beauty was shining from the inside out. And people would tell me, they're like, you know, the most recent photos you have posted, you see such a difference in your face, the way you smile, you're glowing. There's so much more confidence. And that is motivating.
Yeah.
Not the picture where you could see literally every single muscle and vein in my body, where I still, you know, was told I was beautiful and wonderful and, you know, a motivator, but the message was just different. And I started attracting more of the people that I wanted to attract. I started gaining more of an authentic following. You know, was I getting less likes because I was showing less skin? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But being more raw and real with my message was bringing me more customers, more clients, which to me, a customer, a client, a camper, you know, anyone that comes to me for advice, that's a life I get to change.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's where the switch happened, is when I realized that the likes don't matter, the followers don't matter, because people are following. That's what's funny, Kelly, is like, you know, people are like, I didn't get very many likes today. And it's like, yeah, but do you realize that everybody is still watching
they
you?
They are still watching, absolutely.
You know, I mean, the Instagram story has been such like a fun thing for me when I first started using it, because not only do I like feel like I can be silly and just like off the cuff and just post completely worthless information throughout my day, because I'm quite entertaining and things that happen to me you just would never believe. But you see all these people that are viewing the story.
Yeah.
But they've never liked a single post I've made.
Right.
You know, they've never said a single thing. They've never commented on anything once. But they're watching. And you know what? It's just a testament when I mentor other women that are in business and trying to grow their brand or trying to, you know, get started, it's like, stop worrying about the followers and the likes, because
they'll come.
Just get your message right. Get yourself right. You know, get your faith in check and just give the world what it deserves to hear. And you're going to be making an impact, because you may get less likes than the other girl, but that girl is just like everybody else. You're going to be real, authentic, and unique.
And that's what the world needs.
And you're going to change real lives.
So that's what the world needs more of. You know, what I love about your message, Erica, is that it's not about you. The journey is not about you, that you are really putting yourself out there to help other people who are struggling with body image issues, who are struggling with weight issues, who are struggling with just overcoming whatever challenges they might be dealing with in life. And I just absolutely love that. And as you talk, I hear a couple of words that just keep coming up, and that's perfection and authentic. And you can see in the world a kind of a movement and a shift from this idea of perfection to authenticity. But we have so much work to do still here in this area. In 2002, Jamie Lee Curtis, do you know who she is? Are you too young to know who she is?
Yes.
You don't know
who she is? No, I know exactly who she is.
I feel like such an old lady. So, Jamie Lee Curtis.
My girl was like one of my favorite
movies. Yay. Okay. Well, my whole entire life I've been told I look like Jamie Lee Curtis. So, I actually know a whole lot about her and kind of watch her and follow her. And anytime I see her on a magazine cover, I grab it and I read it just because I need to know all about her since people think I look like her, right? And in 2002, she was on the front cover of More Magazine, and she wanted to show the world the real her, not made up, not photoshopped. She's in a black shorts and a black sports bra, no makeup, hair's not done, no Photoshop. And it was really the beginning. And there was an article in the magazine that talked about how she felt really guilty that she was a part of this message that's out in the world that we have to look perfect and be perfect. She even did a movie called Perfect, I believe, back in the day, way before your time. I think even maybe before my time too. I'm not that old, but it's such a great message, because you do see this shift in, you know, you see it in commercials, the Dove campaigns, and you know, just the various campaigns where people are really trying to, and you hear women talk and use the word authenticity a whole lot more, and it's really shifting from this idea of perfection to authenticity. So I just love your message and how you're touching lives in that way. And it's not about you, it's about other people.
Right. And that's the one thing that I just want to stress more than ever, like through this message, is like, you know, if looking good and feeling good in a bikini is important to you, and that's what makes you feel good. Like when I put on a bathing suit, I want to look fit and healthy and beautiful. And so I work my butt off, training in the gym, eating right, but I'm doing it in a healthy way.
Absolutely.
And that goes the other direction. You know, there's all these, you know, plus size models coming out and they're saying big is beautiful too. And, you know, we want to feel good in our skin. Fine. But like, are you eating burgers every day?
Right.
Or are you just like a larger girl who's still living a healthy lifestyle? And that's the thing that like I want people to understand.
That's a great
and
point.
See is that, you know, we're not I don't ever judge anyone. You know, I feel like I was actually put in this path and in this journey to this new Erica that does really focus on health and nutrition and being a better person and a better human being. Because in my younger years, you know, I was in the cool crowd. I was a pretty girl and we were mean to people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't believe that was behavior that was even me. It was me just trying to fit in, mm-hmm. You know, and be somebody that I wasn't just so I would be, you know, adored. And that carried on into my adulthood when I was challenged with another arena and another space where I needed to be perfect and be someone I was not to be adored, is what I thought, you know. But the reality is, you know, you need to do for you whatever makes you feel the best.
Absolutely.
And, you know, people always say, well, I don't understand why you don't eat tacos and cheeseburgers and drink beer and you know, whatever else they think I should be doing. You know, and I say to them, I'm like, I'm choosing to eat a salad tonight with chicken on it and maybe like have one glass of wine because that's what makes Erica feel good.
Right.
You know, I know that if I ate a burger right now or a whole piece of pizza or two or three slices of pizza and had 15 beers, I'd wake up tomorrow feeling horrible.
Yeah.
And that's just a lifestyle I don't want to live.
Yeah. I actually talk about that a lot. I at one point in time was a fitness trainer myself, which I think is how you and I connected on social media. And I used to always say to people, I eat the way I eat because I mean, trust me, I love McDonald's. I love a Big Mac. And I think they have the most marvelous French fries with all that salt and ooh, I love their fancy ketchup. But I do not like how I feel afterward. And so I made a decision in my mind that 5 minutes of eating this yummy deliciousness in exchange for feeling like crap for 3 hours or the rest of the day just was not worth it. And so I'm like you, I choose to eat on a healthier playing field because I want to feel good. I want to have energy. And you shared the big C word earlier, you know, cancer. And I love your message. You know, there are extremes to this. It's not about the skinny girl and it's not about the bigger girl. It's about being healthy. And what my mother-in-law, I'll use her words. She says this to me all the time. I just want your insides to match your outsides. And so there's something going on inside of our bodies from a health perspective. And so what we put into our mouths definitely is critical. And so it's not about how we look on the outside more than it's taking care of our health and avoiding chronic illnesses and diseases.
And that's one thing that I like to continue to share with people because I'll get the haters that'll still come at me. Well, you know, you talk about body dysmorphia and how you like don't want to be perfect, but like look at you, like you're still perfect and you're still eating vegetables and protein all day long. And I tell them, I'm like, yeah, but you know what the difference is? Before, I was eating out of fear. I was eating on a structure and a plan that was not intended for my body. I wasn't getting all the nutrition that I needed. Mm-hmm. And I was avoiding social situations. I wasn't going to dinner. I was afraid to order off the menu because I was afraid of what it was going to do to my body. I could even go to dinner and have a salad, but even that scared me. Yeah. And I felt like I was going to fall apart. So the difference now is that I make healthy choices and I choose to eat a certain way because it makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. So the mindset has shifted. And that's part of my brand is teaching women and men that we've got to start with your mindset and that's where you need to make the shift. That's like my big hashtag that I've been using for the past 6 months and creating a trend with is, you know, here's a message about your mindset and getting that right first.
Absolutely.
And that's where you need to make the shift because once you get your mind right, you can make good, intentional decisions that have a purpose. And then you focus on that nutrition and you then are in a place where you're like, I want to eat this nutritious meal because my body deserves it. And I want to eat healthy because I want to feel good. And then when you're eating healthy and making healthy choices, the outside just takes care of itself.
It does,
you know?
Indeed. It just follows along.
It's really magical, you know, what science can do. No, there's a huge difference between what's happening now and what's happening before. Before, it was self-deprivation. It was, you know, a different mindset.
Yeah,
and now,
I liked the word that you used earlier, too, was it was all based out of fear. You had this fear.
Yes. I was afraid to eat off of the plan, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a plan that was not written specifically for me. And through research and education that I've got done for myself with nutrition, all guides and nutrition advice cannot be the same because everybody's body's different.
Everybody's
body reacts differently to different things. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a trial and error for you when you try to figure that out. But the point is that now with that shift in my mindset and now my mindset being, I want to eat good because I want to feel good. The outside takes care of itself,
yeah.
You know, and people see that and, you know, my energy is different. You know, I smile bigger, I smile brighter, my eyes are brighter, my skin looks better. I mean, there's just so many things that are different because I'm actually fueling my body with the nutrition that it needs. You know, I'm getting enough fat. I allow myself to have what I like to call treat meals. I don't like to call them cheat meals, because I think mentally when you tell a client you can have a cheat meal on Friday, they're like, oh my gosh, this is a cheat meal.
That's very powerful. I've never heard anybody say that before. That's great. So not a cheat meal, but a treat meal. Excellent.
Yes.
And just that tiny little shift is really, really does impact the way that you view that meal.
And I mean, even my dietitian, bless her heart, she was the most amazing person to ever step into my life. One thing that she always would say to me when I would go places and I would text her because I needed her support, she would say, you need to eat the cookie and you need to smile while you're eating the cookie. And that was such a powerful thing, and it may sound so silly to people, but it was so powerful, because when you sit there and you shame yourself for having a cookie
Absolutely.
Or having a piece of pizza or whatever it is that you want to treat yourself to, because you've been working really hard all week and you've been eating really good and you've, you know, had balanced meals and you've had great workouts and you're just doing the best that you can, and you want to enjoy that piece of cake or that chocolate cookie or whatever it is that you want to have, the way that you think while you're eating it affects the way that your body digests, the way it burns it off, the way it stores it. So if you're sitting there shaming yourself,
oh my gosh,
you're raising your cortisol levels and you're storing that cookie
Absolutely. Well, you know,
it's staying with you.
I talk about this all the time, is there is a very big connection between the mind and body, and where the man leads, the body will follow. Where the man's mind leads is where the body will follow. So there is a very strong correlation between that. You know, so you talk about obviously the body, your boot camps, you know, it's fitness. It's all about not so much the bonus benefit is getting the tight booty and the nice arms and the abs and all of that fun stuff. But there are so many other benefits from fitness that we get. We sleep better. We have confidence. It reduces chances for stroke and reduces and alleviates varicose veins and increases your metabolic rate. I mean, stimulates digestion. There's 100 benefits to fitness. It's not just weight loss. It's not just getting that sexy skinny body. You talk about also, or fit body rather. You also.
I want to actually go off of what you just said, because I feel like it's important in my story when it comes to what movement does for you as a person. For me, working out daily and getting some type of movement, I say this all the time on my Instagram and Facebook, when I move my body, I feel like I can move mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And those moments where I'm exercising and I'm at a high intensity and I'm really pushing my body to places that I mentally don't think I can go, and then I do, allows me to in turn go out into my regular life, my daily activities, my daily struggles, and know how strong I really am.
I love
so
that. It's so true.
It's bigger than just the physique.
It
and again, the physique takes care of itself if you're taking care of the mindset. And so for me, I move every day because I need that for myself to be able to have the strength to get through my day. You know, I have a very positive attitude, and people are often alarmed that I can be so positive so often. And it's because I take care of my mind. If I find myself in a negative place, I feed positive thoughts. I go back to my journal. Every time I have an amazing day, I write it down. I talk about it. So then when I'm having a really, really crappy day and I feel like the world is falling apart, I can go back and be reminded of that moment in my workout, or that moment where, you know, I landed 2 magazine covers in one day from all my hard work.
The other thing I hear you, so it's the body, it's the mind, and such an emphasis on the mind. The other thing that I hear, and I hope the audience hears as well, just through hearing your message, is faith is very much, your spiritual journey is very much a part of all of this as well, correct?
Huge, absolutely. I believe, when we talked before, I don't know how people live and breathe without faith. And I even made a post about it today on Facebook, that you don't have to be, you know, the gospel and the prophet running around town telling everybody, hail Jesus, praise God. You know, that's not what this is about. It's finding something that you really know you believe in, and holding on to it so tight and letting that be your foundation for everything that you want to aspire to be. And for me, that's my relationship with God. That's my faith in his purpose and his plan for my life. And I believe that when I reconnected with my faith several years ago from a dear friend who I was raised in the church, I always went to church every Sunday. And as a little girl, even through my high school years, I loved going to church. My parents, like, they will tell you to this day, like, when I go home to visit them in West Virginia, I'm like, we're going to church. We're going to church. You know, I really, really love the church because that's what works for me.
Right.
And it may not work for everybody.
Well, and you had said to me once before, it doesn't even have to be church. I know I go to church when I get on my bike. That's my spiritual moment.
Yes.
Where I quiet my brain and I just get one with a higher power, the universe, nature. And it really is, just reduces all that stress, and just having someone to, you know, to trust, to fall on. Before we even started this phone call, you said, or this podcast, you said, Jesus, take the wheel. And it's just having that faith that someone's got our back. The universe has our back. And you can certainly tell the universe has your back, girl. I just appreciate your getting naked with us today and sharing your personal journey and your story. It's certainly one that I hope everyone will share. I'm going to be plastering this on every social media outlet that I can, because I think there are many, many women, young girls, teens who need to hear this message. And again, men as well. They are not exempt from this. And continue moving mountains. And how do people find you? Where do they go to find you and to hear more about your the work that you do?
So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram most actively. So me, Erica Strimer, public figure, is on Facebook. I have a public figure page, which is my full name, Erica, E-R-I-K-A, Strimer, S-T-R-I-M, as in mother, E-R. That is a Facebook page that I have that you may like, follow, just look at. I don't care. You know, but there's going to be a lot of inspiration there. There's daily workouts. You'll see me in the gym. You'll see, you know, different things that I'm doing every day, ways that I conquer fears, the way that I overcome obstacles, what I'm doing next, you know, where just to find me in your city coming soon. You know, I'm planning to take this show on the road one day. So that's my Facebook. My Instagram is also my name, Erica Strimer, with an underscore. Erica Strimer was taken because I made an account a long time ago. So I'm like, man, who has my
oh,
name?
Oh, you haven't. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. You know, you got to let go of that. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. Erica Strimer, you know, there's an underscore. Just remember to put it there. That's where you can find me on Instagram.
Excellent.
You know, my business, Total Movement, is a local boot camp in West Palm Beach, Florida. You know, I don't know if we ever have any plans to expand. I did just recently hire my first employee to grow us here in a local market in regards to boot camp.
Congratulations.
But Total Movement, the brand, which can also be found on Facebook and Instagram as Total Movement, does have plans for the future to do more nutrition wellness coaching at any gym throughout the nation. I'm working on the book that I'm writing right now. It's called The Total Movement Playbook, and it's on all things that I do, the mindset coaching, you know, nutrition guides, workouts you can do anywhere. You know, Total Movement as a brand is not only just fitness, and from a fitness perspective, we believe that the world is your gym and that not having a gym is not an excuse. You know, that's what you can find through Total Movement, but also in the future, you know, it's getting into the mindset coaching deeper and more spiritually and making an impact starting there, I believe is going to truly help transform more people, because that's the missing piece to most people's puzzle.
Yeah.
Is they don't face that stuff first.
I agree with that. I couldn't agree with that more. Well, your message is absolutely beautiful. Everybody needs to hear it. Go follow this girl. I am telling you, you inspire me. You will continue to inspire people. Can't wait for the book. When's that coming out?
I can't give you a date because I don't know.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things where when I started writing, I started actually writing this book a year ago and I stopped because I found it stressful.
Yep.
And I was trying to write every day and I was giving myself a hard time for not writing. And so it's finding the stride.
Yep.
And then once I feel like I'm doing it, it's in your heart.
You're ready. You're writing the book as you do the work that you do is what I always say.
Yes.
You're writing it right now, my girl. Well,
I am writing it now. And so, you know, it may be in a year, it may be in 10 years, who knows, you know, but I'm finally in a place where I feel like I found my path. I feel like I'm truly on it. I feel like my message is real. It's authentic. It's consistent. My story is absolutely from my heart. All aspects of it have brought me to this place. And I encourage all of your listeners and anyone that comes across this podcast to know that at any moment, you know, your story can change. You can choose to rewrite it.
Always.
I held on to my body dysmorphia story for a long time. I thought that was the story that the world needed to hear. And it's not. It's a piece. The body dysmorphia doesn't define the woman I am today. It's a piece of the story that allowed me to struggle with something. So I understand when people don't like what they look, what they see when they look in the mirror. I understand what they've been through and I can connect.
Yeah.
But the real story is that I'm a strong woman who took a huge leap of faith and started something that my heart believed in. And I kept it, you know, kept close to God the entire way, and it worked. And that's the story I want to share with the world is, you know, connecting with your faith, knowing that if it's in your heart, if it fuels your soul, you should absolutely take the risk, because even though it will never be easy, it's still not easy.
I love
it. Well, it's going to be worth it.
You are the epitome of high heels, high hopes. So you took the heels off and you got high hopes.
Yes, girl.
You're changing people's lives and moving mountains. Thank you,
yes.
Erica Strymer. You are beautiful inside and out and inspiring and motivating so many people. Keep up the great work. We'll chat with you soon. By chance, nor is it a coincidence that you are listening to High Heels, High Hopes podcast on the America Out Loud Network. This is Kelly Murphy, your passionate host, gifting you with a human interest story that is sure to inspire your spirit.